Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast, home of all things hard rock and heavy metal. I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. Now, let's get things started with the Talking Metal theme song, written by Rob Halford, Metal Mike, and Roy Z. Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. My name is Mark Striegel, and we are continuing our coverage from the Rock Derby, which took place in upstate New York in a town I cannot pronounce. S-C-H-A-G-H-T-I-C-O-K-E, Shittycoke, New York. Chicagotoke, New York. So I don't know what it was called. Scott Ian made a joke on stage that he couldn't pronounce the name of the town either, and that it sounded like Shitty Coke, New York to him. So there you go. And speaking of Anthrax, we have Charlie Benante from Anthrax on today's episode. Again, this episode, or this interview that we are doing on this episode, was recorded at the Rock Derby, which took place outside of Albany, New York, about 30 minutes away from Albany, in the middle of freaking nowhere, like on 4-H Farm Fairgrounds. And it was great. Five Finger Death Punch, A Day to Remember, Hailstorm blew my mind. They were so good. Coheed and Cambria, Megadeth, Anthrax, Extreme. Funny thing about Extreme, I probably shouldn't say this, but very low attendance. At their performance, Sebastian Bach played right before them, and the stage they played on was packed. Anthrax played right after them. The place was beyond packed for Anthrax, but it's weird. When Extreme played, the place kind of cleared out. There were three stages at this thing, so you could go to any stage you want. And that's the second time I've seen that with Extreme. I saw them at Heavy Montreal, and it was the same thing. So it is interesting that they keep getting booked at these festivals, because I really don't think they have much of a fan base left. Just an observation. I was never a big Extreme fan. I think Nuno's a great player, but never a big fan myself. But just being honest here, maybe their fans just don't like festivals, because it's the only two times I've seen Extreme in recent years were at these festivals. But anyways, Rock Derby, yeah, great stuff. Megadeth played 6 a.m. You know, I'm not an enormous fan of 6 a.m. myself, but the place was going nuts for them. People love 6 a.m. And, you know, it's cool to see an icon like Nikki Sixx up on the stage at these festivals. Ghost was great. Coheed and Cambria, Seven Dust, very impressive. Trivium sounded absolutely insanely good. So many great bands at this thing. Too many to name right now. Dokken, wow, loved Dokken. Unfortunately, Like a Storm canceled. But so many great bands played this thing, and it was so much fun. It took place May 20th through May 22nd. And the same people who put this thing on put on the rock truck food carnival thing that I reported from less than a year ago. And they're also doing another festival in New Jersey, which you got to come to, guys. This is your time. Come to the Garden State and check this out, because it is insane. Twisted Sister, their final show will be at the Rock Carnival in Lakewood, New Jersey. And this carnival goes from September 30th through October 2nd. Again, the final Twisted Sister show. I hope to be there. Also, some great Jersey rock will be on the bill, a.k.a. Overkill and Monster Magnet. You got to love that. Ace Frehley will be playing. So a lot of great New York and New Jersey rock on this three-day festival at the Rock Carnival Festival. And again, that's taking place September 30th through October 2nd. It's the same people who put on the Rock Derby Festival, which I was talking about earlier, and where today's interview with Charlie Benante was recorded. And we're going to get into that in just a minute. Charlie says some great stuff about the great Eddie Kramer, producer who worked with everyone from Ace Frehley to Jimi Hendrix to Led Zeppelin to Anthrax. He says some cool stuff about Cliff Burton, too. So stay tuned for that, guys. It's a short interview, but fun interview with Charlie. Wanted to mention, yeah, Ace is going to be a part of the festival that Twisted Sister is a part of here in New Jersey, where they are going to do their final performance. A lot of people, you know, John, my partner here on Talking Metal, who's been, you know, quite absent. It's no, since episode 500, he's only been on a handful of episodes, really. Love to get him back in the loop, but he's busy. And, you know, I don't know. I dig where the shows went without him, quite frankly, too. It was fun having him back on 600 and reminded me of what the show maybe once was and maybe once will be again. But I'm moving ahead. I'm having a great time. And John will definitely be, hopefully, on more shows going forward than he has been for the last 100 or so episodes. Having said that, don't expect him to be on every show. I don't think we'll ever have that ever again. But hey, he's the guy I started this with. He was an enormous part of the first 400 episodes, I'd say. And he works with Ace, you know, and again, Ace is part of this festival where Twisted Sister will play their final concert. And a lot of people, because I know John, have asked me, oh, I heard Ace is going back into Kiss. You know, Paul and Ace are friends again. There's going to be a big reunion. I even heard Keith Roth on Sirius Radio say there was big speculation that Ace would be joining Kiss for a tour coming up. Guys, there's absolutely nothing that supports this. I had heard somebody tell me it's a done deal. Ace is back in Kiss. I asked John, I said, have you heard anything about this? No, he has not. And this is Ace Frehley's personal assistant and tour manager, John Astronomy, a.k.a. Ostrowski. He doesn't know anything about it. Eddie Trunk said on his podcast, Ace knows nothing about it. And just last week in the new issue of Revolver magazine, the June-July 2016 issue of Revolver, they ask Ace, it's been more than a decade since you've played with Kiss, and relations seemed chilly at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction in 2014, but you and Stanley, at least, are clearly on better terms now. Do you think you will ever play with the band again? And Ace, this is an exact quote, tells Revolver magazine just recently, well, I'm the kind of guy who never says never. It hasn't been discussed, so we'll have to wait and see. But only time will tell. The ball is in Paul and Gene's court. So let's review that. It hasn't been discussed with Ace, okay? So maybe Paul and Gene have discussed it amongst themselves and are thinking about doing, approaching Ace, but as I can tell you with absolute certainty, as of let's say 2 weeks ago, it has not been discussed. You can quote me on that. And you can quote Eddie Trunk. Just listen to his podcast. He said something very similar. He said, I'm always the last to know, is what Eddie Trunk said. And he tells Revolver magazine real clearly, it hasn't been discussed. So there you go, guys. All right. So having said that, again, my wife and I had such a great time up at the Rock Derby. She got to interview Avatar, which was on the last episode. If you haven't seen, listen to that, go back and check it out. There's pictures of Avatar in the show notes for the last episode. And in today's episode, we're going to have pictures of Anthrax set at the Rock Derby, taken by Emily Striegel. And we're going to have pictures of the Anthrax Derby car, which was part of the, you know, part of this festival was they had a smash up derby and Anthrax had their own car that got smashed up. So did Halestorm, actually. I think Halestorm actually won the derby on the night they played. So there you go. And without further ado, let's get into some music right now here on Talking Metal. A song they did not play at the Rock Derby. A song that I don't imagine they would ever play with Joey Belladonna because John Bush does the vocals on this one. This is a great Anthrax song. I love this. Safe Home. Safe Home by Anthrax, one of my favorite songs from the Bush era of Anthrax. And I really like the Bush era of Anthrax. However, I'm definitely more of a Joey guy when it comes to Anthrax, and no disrespect towards John Bush, because I just love his voice in Anthrax and Armored Saint. But to me, the true voice of classic Anthrax is and has always been Joey Belladonna. And having said that, let's hit a song that they play. This is the Joe Jackson cover, Got the Time. They played this at the Rock Derby. Right after that, we'll get into my like 7-minute interview with Charlie Benante, which took place in a barn at the Rock Derby. Here we go. Got the Time. Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal. We are here at the Rock Derby, and we have Charlie from Anthrax joining us right now with a quick checking in with us. How are you, Charlie?
Hola, I'm good.
So you guys have the Anthrax Derby car. Are you aware of this?
I saw a picture of it, but I haven't sat in it yet. I hope it does some damage.
You're not going to be driving it?
No, they haven't asked us to do that.
Cool.
If we were driving the car.
Yeah, I would love to see one of you guys driving the car. We had you on recently. We talked all about the new record, which is called For All Kings, an amazing record. Can we expect a lot of new songs in the set list tonight at the Rock Derby?
Probably three songs. Probably three, but I can't say for sure. But definitely two, maybe three. Yeah.
Cool. And one thing we got into on the last podcast was your guitar playing and how you write a lot of these great classic riffs. And one thing we didn't touch upon is that you've actually played guitar on some Anthrax tunes, right? And I know you played on the you played quite a bit of guitar on the Stomp 442 record, but have you played guitar on other Anthrax records?
I mean, I've played on Sound of White Noise, I've played on Worship Music, I played on this last one, For All Kings. So I always do the acoustic stuff on the records. And some of the more guitar, like textured type of things, like the end of Blood Eagle Wings, that little guitar section at the end, that's me. Yeah, just things in there, leads sometimes too.
Kind of a random question. I wanted to just quickly talk about Among the Living, amazing record, one of the classics when it comes to metal. In Scott's book, he talks a lot about how you guys had the world famous engineer and producer Eddie Kramer on that record.
And it seemed like maybe he didn't understand Anthrax at first when he entered the studio. That's the vibe I got from Scott's book. What is your take on the whole Eddie Kramer not understanding Anthrax's sound when you were in the studio with him back at that time?
Well, the reason why we wanted Eddie Kramer to be in the studio with us and produce our record is because he was Eddie Kramer and what he had done previously. He's been on some of our favorite records. So when we went in the studio to start working on things, we wanted him to bring the Eddie Kramer that he brought to those other records. Eddie had a different thing in his head. He wanted to move more towards the 90s sounding. And I think he was looking...
You mean the 80s probably, right?
Well, this was 1986, so he was going for...
He was going for...
Yeah. I think he was looking more for like a Def Leppard-y type of thing, but that wasn't us at all. So we butted heads in the beginning of it. And then once he understood we wanted him to be Eddie Kramer, then it was fine. Then it was great. You know, he made that album sound very much like we wanted it to sound, and it had his touch on it too. When I listened back to that record, a couple years ago I was doing the deluxe edition of that record, so I really spent a lot of time with that record again, and I really did appreciate everything that went into that record, and that includes him too. He's still one of my favorites.
Good stuff. And you know, that record was dedicated to the memory of Cliff Burton. And you know, we've heard a lot of stories from Scott about how close he was with Cliff. How close were you with Cliff?
I mean, whenever we would see each other, it was definitely a good hang and everything like that. Of course, if it was nowadays, we'd probably be texting each other and, you know, stuff like that more so. But Cliff was always a very down-to-earth dude, you know. And sometimes he would come out with stuff that was very funny and like you wouldn't expect it. And it's just kind of just this kind of different sense of humor. But he was a great dude. And for me, at least, I always thought of his bass playing as very orchestrated, like how he would play. And you kind of felt Cliff, you know. If you didn't really hear him that well, you felt him, you know?
You ever jam with him?
I don't think so. But someone may have said, oh, yeah, remember that time? And I'd be, oh, God, I forgot about that. I forget a lot of things.
Right on. Cool. Well, you have a show coming up. We're going to let you go. But real quick, very excited about this North American tour that was just announced. Slayer, Anthrax, tell us a little bit about that. Are you psyched?
Yeah, of course I am. I'm just more excited of playing some newer songs and maybe put some other ones to sleep for a while, you know. But sometimes you can't put those songs to sleep because the audiences sometimes do. They're so fickle. It's like if you don't play this one song, it's like then you read about it, you know. Well, they didn't play blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, we've been playing that song for 30 years. Maybe we could give it a break, you know. So, Slayer, good friends of ours. Death Angel, good friends of ours. What more can you ask for? And I think as far as metal fans go, I think this is the tour that will bring people out, you know.
Absolutely. And it's exciting to hear. It sounds like there could potentially be more songs off the new record, For All Kings by Anthrax, on the Anthrax Slayer Death Angel tour this fall. Looking forward to that. Charlie, have a great show at the Rock Derby. And looking forward to seeing the Anthrax car hopefully get pretty banged up.
Yeah, you're right. Can't wait. Can't wait to see that. Cool, man. Thank you.
Thanks.
What you just heard was Blood Eagle Wings. According to Charlie, he plays some of the guitar on that. I'm guessing it's the outro and maybe the intro guitar. I think he said outro guitar during the interview that we just did right there. So I don't know, you know. Charlie, great guy. I really always like talking with Charlie. That was the third time I interviewed him, and real decent guy as far as I'm concerned. We didn't talk much about the record because, you know, I did a more extensive interview with him just a couple months back. So if you haven't heard that, you can go back and check it out on a previous podcast. Loved seeing Dokken play the Derby. And, you know, it's interesting. I mentioned how Extreme didn't have a big fan base turnout when they played. I mean, there were 11,000 people at this thing, you know, so... You know, I would say there were less than 100 when Extreme were on stage. You know, I can't remember who was playing simultaneously on the other stages, but Dokken, on the other hand, real good crowd there watching Dokken play on the stage. And, you know, there's a few songs I wish Dokken would have played. Like, they didn't play Just Got Lucky, for example, but they did play a good mix, and it wasn't just the old classic stuff. You know, they played stuff throughout their catalog, and I give them credit for that, because, like, Sebastian Bach just got up there and played only the Skid Row hits, which I'll talk about. And that actually went over really well. But Dokken mixed up things up. You know, it was not just the classic 80s stuff. They did include some newer stuff, including this song, Empire. This is a great song. And I believe was the song they opened with. It was really good and made me want to revisit the song, which I just downloaded on iTunes because it's a great song. Empire, here we go, by Dokken. What you just heard was the song Empire by Dokken. That comes off their Broken Bones record, a record which I thought was really good. I actually do like Lightning Strikes Again, which was the one previous to that, a little better than Broken Bones, but Broken Bones was a good record. Lightning Strikes Again came out in 2008. and Broken Bones 2012. If you don't know those albums, I definitely suggest you check them out. I would start with Lightning Strikes Again, just personally, but Empire, that song we just heard, is off of Broken Bones. Two really good records. Definitely worth checking out for any Dokken fan who may have lost track of them, you know, post 1990. Now, speaking of Sebastian Bach, he played again before Extreme on the rock stage at the Rock Derby. And he had the backdrop, which I found interesting, was his Angel Down record. You know, that was what was hanging behind him. Now, the Angel Down record, wow, that came out, I think, 2007. I don't have it up in front of me, but around that time frame. And that's the record that featured Metal Mike, a good friend of mine, on guitar. And Metal Mike recently reunited with Sebastian. I know there had been some kind of bad blood there for a while, but it sounds like that's behind them. And when Sebastian played down here in New Jersey, Metal Mike jumped up on stage with him and they jammed some tunes. So that's cool. And the Angel Down record by Sebastian Bach is a great record if you haven't heard it. Sebastian has recently praised it and called it one of his best sounding records. And so anyways, when he played the Rock Derby, the big backdrop, you know, behind the drum kit hanging from the top of the stage all the way down to the bottom of the stage was the Angel Down logo or album cover imagery, which looked really cool. But it was funny because he didn't play one song, at least not at the Rock Derby. He didn't play one song off of Angel Down. He just did the Skid Row hits. And it was great. You know, you had on the side of the stage cheering him on some of the fellow performers, like Taylor Hawkins was there. He was cheering Sebastian on, and guys from other bands just hanging out on the side of the stage cheering Sebastian on. And Sebastian sounded really good. I mean, I've had my issues with Sebastian. I've met him a handful of times, and he always has not, pretty consistently, he's not been very polite to me. For what reason, I have no idea. I mean, it's not like he knew who I was or had any beef with me. He just was kind of a rude individual in general. I'm just being honest. So sometimes I think he has to win me over, and I've seen certain shows of him where his vocals haven't been 100%, and I've kind of been down on him on the podcast here. Having said that, he sounded absolutely fantastic at the Rock Derby. The best I've heard him since the Skid Row days, honestly. Really, really good. And got just really fell at it, man. I mean, him blowing through these old Skid Row covers, he just sounded really good. And I really, really enjoyed his set at the Rock Derby. And going back to the Angel Down record, I would have actually enjoyed a song or two off of that. That was a good record. And we're going to end today's show with a song that he did not play at the Rock Derby off of that record. This is called A Bitch Slap by Sebastian Bach off the Angel Down record. And this song, of course, features Sebastian Bach's friend Axl Rose doing some of the vocals with him. This is called A Bitch Slap by Sebastian Bach. We'll talk to you next time, guys. Please support Talking Metal with the PayPal tab on talkingmetal.com and use our Amazon links to link over to Amazon. I appreciate all the support. All right, later. A Bitch Slap. Rolling down the avenue, I got my fist in the air. Check it out of the rat race, and I really don't care. I got a knockdown, dragging out, fighting my main. Attitudes are kicking the face. I'm just having a good time. Just having a good time. Don't ask what the truth is.
chew on that.
Nice, right? It was nice.
I just added.